Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lam, and on today's show, we have Richard Zing. He's the president of ServPack, and he's here to talk about cloud computing, data centers, and the impact of AI on our workforce. Of course, hey, Richard, welcome to Bite Marks Cafe.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bert.
And, you know, Richard, you've been busy at this data center business. I had you back on, I had you on the show back in 2020, and this was like almost like a distant past because this was like pre-pandemic, and then you're actually in the studio. So, you know,
right.
The time has passed pretty quickly, 6 years since. But, you know, you started ServPack, and ServPack is a data center, and I want you to give us a little history because, you know, we don't really get to hear about some of the technology infrastructure that's really serving up what we sometimes take for granted, you know, whether it's internet access or accessing applications or accessing the content that we usually access on the internet. And these are served up by these data centers. But you had a humble beginning, you know, back in Kalihi. So kind of tell us the path that you've taken from Kalihi to Mililani, and, you know, and then we'll get into where things are going.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me again, Bert. So, you know, ServPack started 22 years ago. We'd like to say, you know, we are infrastructure company.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, technology these days rely on the lots of things, you know, internet, cloud, data center. So our focus has always been providing infrastructure for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So when we started in 2004, you know, our first major offering was voice or IT, you know, host IT services,
mm-hmm.
Host of voice services. Then over time, we have added, you know, fiber internet, data center, you know, cloud, and we also added some AI component recently. So our goal has been always provide the infrastructure for Hawaii business so they can grow in this technology and AI age.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kalihi was a small beginning, but then you moved over to, and you still have Kalihi as a facility, but then you moved mm-hmm. and built out some capacity at the Mililani Tech Park, right? So I know I visited the one in Mililani, but there's quite a bit that you've been working on in Mililani.
Right, right. So, we bought the building and the land in Mililani in the end of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
As you kind of mentioned earlier, you know, 2020, you know, we had a big pandemic. So the timing is, you know, you can argue it couldn't be worse. But anyway, we, you know, have the big investment there. So we built a data center. Actually, the foundation of that is actually before that, in 2014, we bought a building in Kalihi, built our first data center.
Mm-hmm.
So that one is small. That's only mainly for our own use to provide cloud services. So mm-hmm. during that time, we built, you can use all the latest technology like hot-aisle containment, you know, solar panels, multiple generators, you know, high redundancy. So we figure, oh, actually, we know how to build a data center. So we want to build a data center is far from the ocean, you know, high elevation.
Mm-hmm.
So it took us actually a couple of years to finally really lucky to find this property in Mililani Tech Park, which also hosts other technology companies, from cable companies to a couple of cell phone providers. They're all located there. So once we got land, we, built a, our first, co-location service data center.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually the first tier four, actually even now it's the only tier four data center in Hawaii, which is the highest standard by the industry standard. So with that, 2023, we did expansion. Actually, last year, we broke ground on a brand new building. This actually is the only purpose-built data center. So from ground up, there's like solid precast concrete. panels and even the roof is all like concrete roof, which allows to sustain, you know, Category 5 of a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very natural disaster-proof data center.
Now, I want to save that good stuff for a little later, because I know you've built one and you're building a second one. And when you built the first one, you mentioned, you know, it was kind of primarily for co-location. But you've really kind of expanded the concept of what a data center can do far beyond just co-location, right? So typically, you would think that a data center is like a server hotel, right? People come and say, hey, I want to locate my servers in your data center. And you primarily give them rack space, right? You give them rack space, and there's electricity, there's environmentals, there's fire suppression, there's you said, there's, you know, the kind of the building that's resilient to earthquakes and what have you. That's kind of a typical data center. But you've actually kind of built more in terms of a service offering besides just the co-location.
Right, exactly, Bert. So, you know, we start from, 2004, and we have, continue adding new product to our, service portfolio. So when we look at a data center, we don't treat it just, this is just, hotel, cheap server hotel, people can move the server over. That's definitely still a big market. But we also see sometimes people have the need to just have the workload running. They don't care about their own servers. And especially, Hawaii has a lot of small to medium-sized businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So for those ones, be able to run their workload is important. And we provide cloud services. So in this way, they don't have to worry about the server maintenance, management. They just worry about inside the VM. They can run their software. They can access, some other applications. So these two products really complement each other. Even for our colocation customers, lots of them still use our, cloud to complement what they have, either for performance reasons, for capacity reasons, even for redundancy. So they can have, it's a very, very flexible model, we basically provide all the services they need to grow their business.
So, I do want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about what kinds of services are you encountering more frequently with, especially with the businesses in Hawaii. And I can imagine that, if you have a good understanding of that, then you can sort of build the server capability to service up those applications so that they don't have to buy, hardware to build their own. You can build it for them and then basically serve up that application. But wait, we'll hold that thought. I want you to explain that a little bit better, and then we'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Richard Zhang. He's the president of SurfPak, local data center up in Mililani. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor PCAT, Pacific Center for Advanced Technology Training.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Richard Zhang. He's the president of SurfPak. And we're talking about cloud computing, data centers, and, of course, we'll get to the impact of AI. And right before the break, Richard, I want you to explain, you've been working with businesses in Hawaii, and you have a good sense as to what kinds of applications they want to have served, over the internet or the wide area. So what is it that you've learned from that, and how have you translated that into building the infrastructure so that they can have the application served up to them without actually, buying their own servers and going to co-location like yours? You have the services already kind of built so that they can subscribe to.
Right. Yeah, so, different businesses have different requirements from compliance, from, also the technical stuff, skill sets, capabilities. So for some businesses, server co-location is a great model, so they don't have to run their own data center, worry about power, cooling, you know, redundancy, you know, generator, all the good stuff that we take off.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of businesses, you know, they only care about the workload, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially small to medium size, which is the majority of the business in Hawaii. They don't have technical stuff. They don't want to deal with their own servers because, you know, to buy their own server, they need to buy the redundancy, need more technical stuff. It's challenging for them. So for those cases, we provide a cloud. So basically, we run their workload. They put their, you know, because end of the day, you know, if you're a doctor, you care about a patient comes in, you want to be able to see the patient information. You don't really care about, hey, the back end is like running on a Dell server or HP server. You know, as long as it's running, I have the access to the information, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
So the cloud fits that need. We
mm-hmm.
basically run the cloud workload for them, then they can focus on their business. So, you know, these two products really complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you know, really depends on people's business needs.
I see. No, that's good. And you were mentioning, too, that you are also getting into you're in the fiber business. And you said there's only four companies that can provide fiber in the ground. And maybe go through who are those four?
Okay, yeah, sure. So, you know, fiber, when we start providing, you know, when we start building the first data center in Kalihi, we realized, hey, you know, we need some really fast internet because
mm-hmm.
when people move, you know, when their workload to the cloud, for example, we have an engineering firm, they said, hey, I have gigabit on the desktop. When I move my server to the data center, or workload to your cloud, how do I access it? I can't just run 100 meg. So with that things in mind, we're like, okay, you know what? It's time for us to build a fiber. So it's not an easy thing to do, you know, in Hawaii. So, but, you know, we get it. We start, you know, building fiber since 2014, the same year we built our first data center. So that allows us to put a fiber on a poles, on the, you know, underground conduit.
Mm-hmm.
So only three other commercial companies, who has ability and regulatory requirement to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be, you know, Hawaiian Tel, Spectrum, and Lumen.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you know, we have invested heavily in the last decade, put over 250 miles fiber. These are fiber miles, you know, depending on where the route is. Sometimes we put 72 strands of fiber. Sometimes we put 144 strands of fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, we have been putting 288 strands of fiber
Wow.
in these routes. So, yeah, so these allow us to provide really high-speed network to bring customer all the way to our data center with super low latency, high throughput, basically become an enabler for our cloud services.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, you don't just sit in the data center and do data center, stuff. You've actually
mm-hmm.
expanded and extended your service to include fiber to the business premise, and that in and of itself is, you know, a pretty involved process, right? Because, like you said, you could either be doing fiber along the poles or fiber in trenches, and that's a
mm-hmm.
that's a lot of, you know, different expertise than just, you know, sitting in a data center. So are you expanding your service offering to the extent where you're even in the premise where, you know, the business might need support for their computers that are now accessing
mm-hmm.
your fiber?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, many businesses have, you know, many requirements, so everybody's different. So
mm-hmm.
we do manage the on-prem. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, lots of people don't care about the technology, right? They just want the thing to work.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, so for some customers, we put, you know, network devices on-site, provide secure, you know, secure network in their prem. And also, you know, if they, you know, lots of workforce are working remotely, so we provide traditional VPN access, but more recently, you know, we moved to the zero trust model. to provide a high security.
Mm-hmm.
So this way, you know, our goal is when the business comes to us and says, hey, CertPack, we'd like to focus on our business. Can you take off all these like technology things that I don't even understand? When things not working, I don't even know who to call.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we basically a turnkey provider to basically provide a whole solution. So we are both infrastructure provider, but we also a turnkey service provider to integrate all these services to give a customer a seamless service.
Now, are you... Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to add one thing, you know, like, for example, people move to cloud, right? Mm-hmm. If you move to hyperscalers, they're going to basically say, hey, the web login, you know, you go there, provision your own VM, deal with, you know, all the things, security, you know, IP address, how to configure this thing yourself. And we come in, we will tell the customer, hey, we have local cloud. If you want some cloud on mainland, we really embrace, that's one thing I want to highlight, we embrace the public cloud on the mainland. So mm-hmm. we can put some workload on the mainland, which is in some cases cheaper because, you know, mainland energy costs, you know, the scale is better fit for some workload, mm-hmm. but some other workload, low latency, high throughput, better suited in Hawaii. So we can really, you know, combine these, you know, public cloud to local cloud together, give the customer the best solution.
Mm-hmm. Now, the question I was going to ask you, are you mm-hmm. On the neighbor islands as well? Are you able to extend your service beyond Oahu?
Yes, we do have a customer. We have some presence on the neighbor island. Yes.
So, I mean, you know, to what extent do you want to expand? Do you want to expand to all the neighbor islands? Kauai, you know, Maui, Big Island?
Yeah, we have a network presence in those areas. You know, of course, you know, building fiber on the neighbor island is more challenging than mm-hmm. Oahu,
mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, most our, you know, engineers stay on the island, our contractors are all here.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, you know, explore the, we understand the neighbor island has the unique challenges, but also, you know, unique opportunities. So we definitely look into, have our presence, have more presence on the neighbor island.
Well, I don't want you to grow faster than you need to. I think you're growing quite well, you know, as it is. How big is your company now? How many people do you employ?
Right now we have 50 people, so 50.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
You know, I always say it's the smallest of big company or the biggest of a small company.
Well, that's a good size.
I really like the size because we can, you know, really take off the customers with the size. You know, we have multiple services with our own infrastructure. We don't like to resell other people's service,
mm-hmm.
which we don't have control. So, you know, we are, but also big enough that we can provide these services. We have enough, you know, technical staff. We have, most customers, we have dedicated customer success manager to take off customer needs. But we are not as big as other bigger ones and lose the touch with customers.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
I love to talk to customers because that gives me opportunity to understand the need and to build our product, you know, based on the need in the Hawaii market.
No.
So one thing
Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to add it quickly. You know, our focus has always been Hawaii. I think, you know, we do have small presence in Hawaii that's more to provide, you know, connectivity and reach to the public cloud. On the
mm-hmm. Now, I do want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about how you feel of, you know, regarding the AI and the technology that's coming as a result of the AI tsunami. So I want you to talk about that. Plus, I want you to talk a little bit about your expansion of the data center in Mililani. So I want to kind of have us hold that thought. We'll be right back at a short break to continue our conversation with Richard Zhang, president of CertPack Data Center out in Mililani. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Anchor Systems Hawaii.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Richard Zeng, president of SurfPak. And of course, we're talking about cloud computing, data centers, and the impact of AI. And Richard, you know, we were kind of talking about some of the technologies that are really impacting businesses. You talk about cloud. You talk about how, you know, people are now getting, you know, their services, addressed using data centers and access to infrastructure. But now with the sort of incoming tsunami, which is happening much, much quicker than I think other disruptive technologies, let's say like the internet. And over the course of like even the last year, AI has grown in capacity and capability so much that it's almost mind-boggling. So I do want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about what you see as the impact of AI and how it might impact, you know, the kind of the work environment.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, Bert, that you use exactly the right word I want to use, too. It's really a tsunami. If I want to add more adjective, I would call this a 300-foot tsunami with supersonic speed coming towards us.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in the tech field. I've been watching the trend. Otherwise, oh my gosh, this thing is happening way faster than what I had anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely going to have a huge, you know, give you one example. You know, for the while, you know, our voice service has been, you know, it's our first product, we love it, but the growth has been really slow for the voice, because who needs, you know, these days the voice is not that important.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly with the AI, the voice becomes the user interface, the preferred user interface.
Mm.
And, you know, like we have been working on the integrated AI with our phone system so people can call in, they can talk to AI agent, you know, customer can make appointments, you know, change schedules, things like that. So, to comment on your question about how does it affect the workforce, that has been really, you know, on top of my mind for the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we do have lots of technical, you know, not just technical, we have a sizable, you know, staff, and, you know, I have a few kids.
Mm-hmm.
I worry about, you know, after they graduate from college, what's going to happen with their job.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my feeling is, you know, first, if you just have the knowledge, it is going to be really hard to compete with the AI, because, you know, AI can learn things faster if you just try to memorize things. And, you know, you can't compete with AI,
mm-hmm.
right? So, of course, with the physical AI, people talk about robots, those things, that's going to be the next wave. It's going to affect a lot of, like, physical jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the AI age, I think it's definitely had a big impact, you know, it's tsunami is going to come to us no matter, you know, we like it or not, it's going to hit us. So what we can do is to basically, give our, you know, staff some training and, make sure they can adapt to the AI age.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least for now, AI doesn't have lots of things that we can do well, like problem-solving skills, critical thinking. People even talk about curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
AI doesn't have curiosity enough. So mm-hmm. want to be able to learn, want to learn these things like a multi-discipline, you know, you combine with your technical knowledge, with project management, with sales skills. Those are going to help our people survive in the AI age. I hope that, in the public space, there will be more discussions and people can talk about how it will impact the society and what we can do it, in general.
Now, with all the AI potential and opportunity,
mm-hmm.
how do you see it impacting infrastructure? And maybe that can lead into the fact that you're building another, you have another building that you're building.
Right, right. So what we want to do is, you know, there's lots of AI workloads. You know, if you look at high level, AI can be broken down into two phases. One is training, one is inference, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So for the training, the big models, you know, you're talking about those big companies on mainland spend, you know, trillions and billions of dollars on the investments. They really focus on the training of the model. But the inference, a lot of inference needs to be done locally. You know, we have, you know, working on this case, you know, one customer has like lots of cameras. They want to do some local AI, you know, analysis.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense to send a large amount of video to the mainland and throw away 99% of the video. So
mm-hmm.
having a localized is really critical, crucial here. So what we have done is we, last year we broke ground for a new data center, and this is the only purpose-built data center in Hawaii. So from, you know, ground up, we have, you know, precast concrete, the roof is all concrete, be able to sustain a Category 5 hurricane, you know, earthquake-proof, you know, all the good stuff, so we can, you know, support Hawaii's technology growth and, you know, support the local job market for the decades, you know, going forward.
Now, you said you just broke ground, so when do you foresee this new data center being completed?
Yeah, actually, we broke ground last April, so we expect it's going to be finished in about May or June timeframe.
Mm-hmm.
So the building shell is already there. We are, you know, our electrical, mechanical contractors are busy putting all the, you know, UPS, you know, generators, you know, the AC units, all those things. So in the next few months, you know, everybody will be really busy. Then after that, we have also going to have upcoming big announcement on the cloud. So I can talk a little bit about that. So we are partnering with a big hyperscaler on the mainland
mm-hmm.
to bring, you know, they're busy building the data center on the mainland. You know, there's like billions and billions of dollars. You know, Hawaii market is not, you know, big, not their focus. So we have been partnering with them and they try to, you know, we will bring the hyperscaler cloud services to Hawaii.
Oh,
so it
good.
Will be announced in the next few months.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. So there's a couple of big announcements, right? You got the hyperscaler partnership that you're going to be announcing as well as the mm-hmm. the new building. And yeah, I think it's definite reason for you to come back on and talk about that. And again, where can people find out more information about SurfPak?
SurfPak.com.
Very good. I'll put that up on our show notes. Richard Zhang is the president of SurfPak and, of course, the place for cloud technologies and managed services. And, of course, Richard, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Okay, thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the Hawaii Island AI Summit. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR1 every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.